On behalf of the Congregation of the Daughters of Mary, Mother of our Savior, and the Congregation of St. Pius V, Bishop Sante, Father Carroll, and on behalf of the Society of St. Pius V, I would like to offer to the family our heartfelt condolences at the death of Sister Maria Dolorosa. And likewise, on behalf of the Congregation of St. Pius, the Congregation of St. Pius V, Bishop Sante, Father Carroll, and the priest of the Society of St. Pius V, I would like to offer our condolences to the sisters who have lost one of their family as well. And everyone that hath left house or brethren, or sisters, or father, or mother, or lands, for my sake, shall receive a hundredfold, and shall possess life everlasting. These words are taken from the Gospel of St. Matthew, chapter 19, verse 29. Commenting on these words of our Lord, St. Alphonsus Liguori says, Jesus Christ has promised that whosoever leaves his house and relatives for God's sake shall enjoy eternal life. To explain what he means by shall enjoy eternal life, St. Alphonsus tells the story of a certain religious who was a member of the Society of Jesus and who on his deathbed, instead of being fearful, was smiling. Seeing this, some of the Jesuits who were present thought that perhaps the dying man was not fully aware of his condition and thus failed to grasp the fact that he was so gravely ill and so soon to die. One of them, therefore, went up to him and asked the dying man why he was smiling. He answered his brother Jesuit with these words, "Why should I not smile, since I am sure of paradise? Has not the Lord himself promised to give eternal life to those who leave the world for his sake?" Then the dying Jesuit went on, "I have long since abandoned all things for the love of him. He cannot violate his own promises." Speaking of our Lord, of course. "I smile then because I confidently expect eternal glory." St. John Chrysostom, writing long before St. Alphonsus on this very subject, said to a certain religious who was dying, God cannot tell a lie. But he has promised eternal life to those who leave the goods of this world. You have left all things. Why then should you doubt the fulfillment of his promise? Were it not for the fact that St. John Chrysostom and St. Alphonsus Liguori are saints and doctors of the Church, some might be tempted to think that what they said about those who die in the religious state might possibly manifest a certain presumption rather than a holy confidence. But say these things they did, and presumption it is not. It is, of course, true that we must not presume on God's mercy. Yet at the same time, confidence must be given to whom confidence is due. Thus, we must not detract from the confidence of which St. Alphonsus and St. John Chrysostom speak with regard to religious life. It was not so long ago that the room of a religious was commonly spoken of as a cell, because the word cell has as its first definition a small room. St. Bernard says that it is very easy to pass from the cell of a religious to heaven, because a person who dies in the cell scarcely ever descends to hell, since it seldom happens that a religious perseveres till death, unless she be predestined to the happiness of heaven. And St. Lawrence Justinian says that religion, that is religious life, is the gate of paradise, because living in religion and partaking of its advantages is a great mark of election to glory. And so it is that we take to heart again and find great consolation in the words of our blessed Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, which were read at the beginning. Not every one that hath left house, or brethren, or sisters, or father, or mother, or lands, for my sake, shall receive a hundredfold and shall possess life everlasting. St. John the Apostle wrote, "Blessed are the dead who die in the Lord." But what about the question of religious life and purgatory, which perhaps some of you are thinking of, as I did when I first read what these two great saints and doctors of the Church said? St. Alphonsus answers this question. He says, "The faults committed after profession by a good religious are expiated in this world by her daily exercises of piety, by her meditations, communions, and mortifications. But if a religious should not make full atonement in this life for all her sins, her purgatory will not be of long duration. The many sacrifices of the Mass, he goes on, which are offered for her after her death, and the prayers of the community will soon release her from her sufferings. Now, the worldly minded do not understand this, for in so many cases they are blind to the things of God. Compared to the happiness of eternal glory, the pleasures of this world are but wretchedness and misery, the saint says. But if those who do not understand the things of God had a lively sense of the glory of paradise, they would assuredly abandon their possessions. Even kings would abdicate their crowns, St. Alphonsus says, and would leave the world, in which it is exceedingly difficult to attend to the one thing necessary. And they would retire into the cloister to secure their eternal salvation. Bless then, dear sister, St. Alphonsus says, and continually thank your God, who by his own lights and graces has delivered you from the bondage of Egypt and brought you to his own house. Prove your gratitude by fidelity to his service and by a faithful correspondence to such a great grace. Compare all the goods of this world with the eternal felicity which God has prepared for those who leave all things for his sake, and you will find that there is a greater disparity between the transitory joys of this life and the eternal beatitude of the saints than there is between a grain of sand and the entire creation. It is the consideration of such things as these that help us to understand the life and confidence of Sister Maria Dolorosa, who departed her cell, as it were, last week on December 7th. At about 10:20 a.m. Sister Maria Dolorosa was born on June the 21st, 1964, on the feast of St. Aloysius Gonzaga in the month of the Sacred Heart. She entered St. Joseph's novitiate as a postulant on September the 12th, 1987, at the age of 23. Following year, she became a novice. 2 years later, in 1990, she made her first profession of vows. Last year, in 2015, she celebrated her silver jubilee as a religious. During her 26 years as a religious, She served as mistress of novices in 1994 and 1995. She was a counselor to the superior on Long Island from 1995 to 2000, and was a member of the general congregation, the general council of the congregation, from 1998 to 2016. From 1999 to 2003, she served as assistant principal of St. Pius V School. And from 2000 to 2007, she was the local superior of the sisters on Long Island. In 2003, she became principal of St. Pius V School and remained in that position until 2007. She was then transferred to Round Top, where she was a counselor to the local superior and directress of Sisters Studies and the superior of the junior eight from 2007 to 2016. She was named provost and also oversaw the curriculum of the schools, even as she helped to train the young sisters to be teachers. She taught at St. Pius V School from 1990 to 1994 and from 1995 to 2007. She taught 7th to 12th grade math, including New York State Regents courses, as well as calculus, economics, and government, even as she oversaw the junior and senior student council. She gave convert instruction classes and taught Summa Catechism from 1990 to 2011 in California, Pennsylvania, Rochester, New York, Bay City and Traverse City, Michigan, and in Cleveland and Cincinnati, Ohio. She also helped to organize the catechism for the Congregation of the Daughters of Mary. She had a great love for the vows of religion, the three vows of religious life, of poverty, chastity, and obedience. Some years ago, Mother Mary Bosco said of Sister Maria Dolorosa that she was the most obedient of sisters. Mother could tell Sister to do any job, whether she liked the job or not, and she would cheerfully do it. In religious life, the bell that calls the sisters to prayer, to work, to meals, and recreation is regarded, in a certain sense, as the voice of God. For Sister Maria Dolorosa, this was especially true. At recreation, she was so interested in everyone else that she did not spend time talking about herself, which is a truly virtuous disposition, since by nature I think we like to talk about ourselves and like to hear people talking about us. As a good religious, she would be with the sisters in imitation of a divine spouse and was thus a good listener. In her first conference to the college sisters in the junior eight, she instructed the young sisters to be a light that enlightens, a model that edifies, and a pillar of strength that supports and upholds humility and charity. She was zealous in the way she cared for the souls of others. This was especially manifested when she went to Sloan Kettering in New York City to see her doctors and to receive treatment. She was orderly and self-disciplined, and she possessed that great virtue, prudence. That wondrous and most necessary virtue in those who exercise authority over others. She was devoted to the Sacred Heart of Jesus and promoted this devotion to those for whom she was responsible, and thus her name is written in the Sacred Heart as our Lord promised. She had a most special devotion to the Blessed Virgin Mary, the mother of the second person of the Blessed Trinity incarnate, and thus the mother of God. In a word, she was most zealous. St. Thomas Aquinas says that zeal arises from the intensity of love, for it is evident that the more intensely a power tends to anything, the more vigorously it withstands opposition or resistance. Since therefore, St. Thomas says, quoting St. Augustine, since therefore love is a movement toward the object loved, an intense love seeks to remove everything that opposes it, whatever stands in the way of the love of God is set aside. St. Thomas Aquinas held, and when I first read these words, they seemed somewhat startling. But St. Thomas Aquinas said that God is said to be a zealot on account of his great love for things. And at the pinnacle of all things are angels and men. God is thus a zealot for the salvation of our souls, and especially for those consecrated to him. He is a zealot for our eternal happiness in his infinite desire to be loved by us. Sister Maria Dolorosa was zealous in her love for God and the things of God because of her love for him. This was made quite evident to those who spent time with her in the course of her last agony. On November 29th, she told Mother Mary Bosco that she felt unworthy to have been chosen by God to bear the cross of her illness. She told Mother that she looked upon her sickness as an honor given to her by God, and said that she did not feel worthy to follow in the footsteps of Sister Mary Cecilia, the young sister who died in December of 2013, and next to whom Sister Maria Dolorosa will be buried. On Saturday, December 3rd, after having gotten up and then returning to her bed, she accidentally laid upon her crucifix without realizing that it was there under her back. And then upon reflection, she said, "How nice it is to lie upon the cross." She said to the sisters, "I am on my cross." On Friday, December the 2nd, referring to her suffering, she said, "A little more. Our Lord wants a little more." On Sunday, when Sister was in pain, after one of the sisters had just turned her in her bed, she said, "My Jesus, mercy. Jesus, help me." There is a wonderful lady doctor that the sisters see who actually makes house calls. She came to see Sister. After the visit and after speaking with the doctor, Sister Maria Dolorosa said that she started to feel panicky. "But how silly it was," she said, "because it's all in God's hands." She said, "I have to remember that our Lord is in the driver's seat, and I have to take it one day at a time, going along for the ride." On November 29th, she said that there was nothing to worry about, which was contrary to her natural disposition. She told Mother Mary Bosco, "I don't know why I have ever worried about anything." On Thursday, December the 1st, she said to Mother again, "As you know, I am not a naturally calm, peaceful person, but I'm so at peace about this. I know it is a grace." She said this several times. She told Mother recently that she looked at everything that happened to her and saw that it was all according to God's plan. Sunday, December the 4th, Mother spoke to Sister Maria Dolorosa, even though Sister was not able to say much. Then Sister looked up at Mother and said, "Mother, everything is going to be all right." Those were her last words to Mother Mary Bosco. Sister, in the course of her illness, said, "Yes, Lord, I am all thine. Do with me as thou wish." One morning before she died, Sister Maria Dolorosa woke up. Sister Mary Agnes was present. She spread out her arms and said, "Isn't God so good to me?" Sister died at about 10:20 a.m. on Wednesday, December the 7th. The vigil of the Immaculate Conception of Our Lady. Finally, I would like to read an excerpt from the ascetical works of St. Alphonsus Liguori. which in a certain sense also startled me when I first read what he said. He writes the following astounding words, this doctor of the church. He says, the dignity of martyrdom is sublime, but the religious state appears to possess something still more excellent. The martyr suffers, St. Alphonsus says, that he may not lose his soul. The religious suffers to render herself more acceptable to God. A martyr dies for the faith, a religious for perfection. How few, St. Alphonsus remarks, how few there are who spend 5 or 6 hours each day in these or similar works of piety, who practice fasting, abstinence, and mortification. How few there are who observe silence or accustom themselves to do the will of others rather than their own. It is evident that the conduct of the generality of pious Christians in the world, he says, cannot be compared with that of good religious. No wonder then, he continues, that Saint Cyprian called virgins consecrated to God the flower of the garden of the church, the noblest portion of the flock of Jesus Christ. St. Gregory Nazianzen says, the religious are the first fruits of the flock of the Lord, the pillars and crown of faith and pearls of the church. I hold as certain, St. Alphonsus says, that the greater number of the seraphic thrones vacated by the unhappy associates of Lucifer will be filled by religious. Jesus Christ once said to Saint Teresa, Saint Alphonsus tells us, woe to the world, but for religious. And then counseling the religious, he says, when then the devil affrights you by representing the difficulty of observing your rule and practicing the self-denial and the austerities necessary for salvation, raise your eyes to heaven and the hope of eternal beatitude. This will give you strength and courage to suffer all things. The trials, mortifications, and all miseries of this life will soon be past, he says, and to them will succeed the ineffable delights of paradise, which shall be enjoyed for eternity without fear of failure or of diminution. So, my dear friends, our dear family of Sister Maria Dolorosa, on this sad yet holy and happy occasion, if I may say that, let us look meekly up to heaven through our tears. And may all of us remember the following words of St. Alphonsus, as though he were speaking to each of us here individually, for our hope and our consolation and encouragement. He says, "The death of the just is a victory. The death of the just is entrance to life. The just have nothing to fear at the hour of death, for the just die in a sweet peace." And the Book of Wisdom says, "The souls of the just are in the hand of God, and the torment of death shall not touch them. In the sight of the unwise, they seem to die, but they are in peace." God bless you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.